This is a new reel, Kenny Sims, a reel, Kenny Sims. This is Channel One Right, the beginning of a new reel, Kenny Sims. This is Channel One Right. This is a tape, Saturday afternoon, the middle of the afternoon, the 15th of March, 1969. Saturday afternoon, the middle of the afternoon, the 15th of March, 1969. At first, it was this little boy, brown-eyed and bright, getting his first haircut. I didn't tape it. It had to be photographed. The first real subject we got off on was hippies. I don't know why, and Kenny's attitude was something I hadn't heard before. Tie up with them, he said, and they will outthink you and outtalk you. They come from the best families. The salesman was there, Barber Supply. They talked like just old chums. He didn't sell him a thing. He started out, and Kenny hollered at him, "Hey, where are you going?" At the last, it was something I didn't know. Kenny is in his third year as the full-time minister at the Oakdale Baptist Church out in old Bunny Holt's community out towards Newberry. My, oh my, oh my.
Are you going to get a haircut, too? I tell you, you have to talk fast and listen fast to understand this little fella.
Yes.
Come in.
That's the way it ought to be.
This fella is one of these here fast talkers.
He's a fast talker.
Yes, sir. Reed.
That's a red comb. That's a red comb.
That's a little comb, isn't it, Dad?
And that's a big comb.
And that's a big comb. That's a little cone and a big cone, Daddy.
What color is that cone? I know something like this. Hey, shoot.
Brown new shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just stick them out there where I can see those shoes.
And all
that's
ahead. Seth, tell Mr. Sims, who do you like to hear play the guitar? Who do you like? Who's your favorite guitar player on TV? Who's your guitar player? Who? Who plays the guitar? Off the song
you sing? How about that? How about that?
Yes, sir. He picked a mean, well-trained guitar.
Sing
Wichita
Lineman
for
me. I was a
lineman.
I wish I had a picture of this.
Thank you.
His mama said, don't part it calm and straightforward.
I'll take a little bit right off and start to get it out of your eyeball before you want to look like peanuts.
That's what my wife was meant to do on my street for.
Tell you, how about those hair cutters that you see in the television where you just rake it down? Would that be good for boys? I never saw one close up.
You can only do a limited work in them kind of thing.
Yeah.
Says got to comb.
It won't. It wouldn't trim it around. Trim it.
It's just a crude haircut.
All right, so you
tell me what you do. You just open that old snoot and we'll come in your mouth and we'll give you more.
Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff. Keeps on tasting good.
Seth, where are we going after we leave the barbershop? Where'd Daddy tell you we're going to go? Huh?
To the barbershop.
No, after the barbershop, where are we going?
Where are you going?
After the barbershop. Going out and see the big steer horns and whatever.
Oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. That sounds exciting to me. Mm-hmm. I wish I could go with you, but I got to stay here this evening and work on some railroad boys, I hope.
And get them ready for the Sunday school in the morning.
Yes, sir. Get them ready to go and sing.
Sing in the choir.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Can you sing that? Can you sing Jesus Loves Me? There's a little boy in here the other day that was singing Jesus Loves Me. Oh, he was singing like a robin. If Daddy had to help him out a little bit, though, that's not too unusual. Daddy's had to help boys out a lot of times.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to see around this fellow here, too.
Mm-hmm.
When you get grown up and big like this fellow, you can get your shape back.
After a point, it goes fast, don't it?
Oh, that's looking good, Seth. Yes, sir, that's looking good.
Come in, Jim. Now, can I have a little phone? Let me have the brush. I want to brush it off. Be real still now. I'm not
going to
hurt you.
Yeah.
Real still.
Get the hair off of your neck, Seth.
I'm finished.
Well, you are finished. All right, that's right.
Be still now. I'm going to brush the hair off. Let's see your hand. See, I'm going to brush the hair off. I mean, baby, you are a fine little
fellow. Oh, man, lies.
Woo!
Man, alive. If he had that at home, he could brush himself, couldn't he?
Let's see if I can get hair out of your arm. Huh?
That's a what?
Really? You get hair out of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll get another slug and I'll put you down and let Daddy have it. All right? You and Daddy can drink it, man.
That boy.
Here, Daddy, you hold his coat while I'm getting finished up.
All righty.
Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to grow some of the hair off.
Woo! That feels good.
See that, how the hair
grows
off?
Hey, like that.
Woo! Back.
Feels good.
Get way over. I'm going to get it there in front of the
bridge. All right, boy.
Woo! If you got any hair in the bridges, let's see.
Woo! Woo! Feels good.
Oh, shit.
I'll tell you, you are a fine little fella, and I sure do appreciate you saying to me about heaven is a wonderful place. You know, there's a lot of people that don't believe that, and they're grown men. Ain't that a shame?
process of what?
All right.
Kenny, I don't know what happened to it to make it stand up like that, but I'm trying to get it to grow out, you know.
Probably this long winter. It's got more body in it than it usually has. I'm trying to take off some of the travel ends there.
Well, I hadn't thought about that.
Thank you very much.
I thank y'all here.
I appreciate your patience.
Get it over the cover now.
Okay, here we go.
Robin, you want to get your ticket? I tell you,
don't bring that up. Lord.
These long-haired boogers, I'm telling you, they're probably.
Kenneth, I'm sorry you brought that up.
Well, don't think about it.
You know, it looks like they're multiplying.
Well, they are.
Our coffee book sure feels like
that. They're multiplying. They're going around the little fellas on their back like Indian papooses. And they don't even know what married is.
I'm telling you, it's not funny. I don't know why you can laugh at something that sad. You know, it used to be up here on the campus, you'd see somebody every now and then with long hair. Why, hell, now you got to look close to see what's boy or girl.
Well, if you want to see a colony of them, buddy, you go in here back to the little waffle shop, buddy. There's a colony on the floor.
Oh, don't tell me.
There's a man come in here the other day and tell me about, he was walking down the street down there, and he said, by golly, he had a boy and a girl that called him and asked him to come to him. You know, they were sitting on the porch, and the boy hollered and said, hey, mister, come here, man. And he said, I walked over there, and the boy said, this lady would like to share herself with you. And he said, I never in my life heard any such thing. Yeah, thank you, Rick.
That's a nice trip you got.
And he was just completely baffled. He said, never in my life. He said, it was a nice looking girl. He said, she looked right up at me in my face as if she was ready to go. That tickled a few of you out of me. He said, I got all that. He said, you talking about somebody embarrassed?
Mr. I was embarrassed.
Well, now, can you tell me, why can't a fellow stand up and laugh if something as sad as that is?
Well, it is sad.
Yeah. 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 Well, now, how...
Thank you. Good night.
Good
night. Good night.
Oh, goodness. Yes.
It is a sad thing.
Oh, now, you see, when I sit up here on the campus and encounter it, I don't laugh. I flinch. But I come down here and talk to you, and I can laugh about it.
I think, really, they're a product of people that hadn't been necessarily right in the eyes of God in their relationship to God, or the parents would have been more attentive toward their needs. You can stop and talk. I've talked to some of them. I've actually stopped them and talked to them.
Yeah.
And if you go back in their family relationship, you'd be surprised.
Well,
they come from well-to-do homes.
Yes.
And the parents never had time to discuss with them the vital issues of life. Not the immediate needs, but the vital issues of life that they face.
Yeah.
Them guys, many of them, are in the upper echelon of the intellectual class of people. They are well endowed with abilities and with, learning.
They talk.
Many of them guys are far beyond your and my ability to even talk to some of them.
That's right.
But they've just lowered themselves down to nothing, and you can talk to them.
Yeah.
But don't get to talking to them about the real intellectual things. They'll lose you.
Yeah.
They're really intelligent. Many of them are. They just come from homes that have been out of touch with their parents. Their parents didn't have time to give them. And I had one of them in here one day that was a radiologist's son from St. Petersburg. And he was going home for Thanksgiving. And I said, well, now listen. I know that according to your philosophy and your idea, that when you do this, they're going to think of you as being an outcast. You're going to be regarded as a square. You've conformed now. You're going to be ruled out of that little circle. I said, I want to know why. Because evidently you believe in their ideas and you've participated in some of their activities and you've liked it, or you wouldn't have let your hair grown this long. Why are you dropping out of that movement now? Why are you getting your hair cut? Why are you coming back into the establishment?
Yeah.
Really, I put him in a direct confrontation.
Yeah.
I said, why are you doing it? I'd like to know. It's not my business, but I'd just like to know, because I'd like to know what makes you people tick.
I bet he'd tell you.
He did. He said, I'm going home, and he said, I feel like that my mother and daddy would want me to be presentable in their own ideas.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I can respect your respect for them, and if you're going home, if you think enough of them and love them enough to go home, certainly you ought to represent what they feel as their son proper.
Yeah.
Whether you respect them to the fullest is another thing.
What I'm doing, I don't imagine you around that.
I've never seen the boy since.
And no, that's it. You never keep up with
it. I said, what did your dad do? He said, he's a radiologist doctor. I said, well, that kind of bears out what I've come to understand about hippies. That most of you wear the finest in clothes, the best, most unusual, high-priced clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not poor. You're not from poor class.
Yeah.
You're not poor white trash, even though you do act like it.
Yeah.
But I said, you're not. You're from intellectual class family.
Yeah.
And he said, he kind of, turned pink and white and pale and all that, during the course of the conversation. He did have an honor. He did have some moral concept of life.
Well,
he was just rebelling, that's all.
There's a lot of things that probably called that for him to get an answer. He could have thought about the resources might be cut off to see him like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the different things like that.
Well, certainly
but
that isn't.
Actually, the whole thing is rebellion.
Yes, it's just a subtle way of telling somebody to go to hell.
Yeah, they rebel against everything that they were taught that was right, if any of them were taught.
That's where the problem was. They wasn't taught.
But, I've seen a few around that there was.
I can't say as I ever met one that had what I called a good family relationship. I hadn't met one yet that I knew had a good family relationship. When I inquire into this family, they're respectable people, but buddy, they are far from being what I call a good family relationship shared between them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen personal kids. I've seen kids drop out in the area where I live, families, that was as far from being a good family relationship as a family can be.
Well, you can understand them that never was taught anything, never had any Bible teaching and stuff of that nature, and you say a family relationship, but you see some of them that hadn't gone all the way. In other words, they'll let them on the side and burn through all the way down and then go to church every Sunday. That's the one thing that I can't understand. They know these people that's been taught.
Yeah.
You know them. They know what they're stopping in. What I can't understand is why they won't look like it.
Well, you see, they make a mockery today about Jesus. You hear people, these kids say, well, the only man in the world that was perfect had long hair and had a beard, you know.
Yeah.
And he loved flowers.
Yeah.
And he loved children.
Say that's not too long ago.
They're making mockery.
That he had long hair. They don't know.
No, they don't know, but according to the pictures you know of him,
yeah,
that they've known all their life and seen all that, it displays Jesus as one having had long hair and wore sandals. You know, in fact, they call these boots Jesus boots.
Yeah.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Sam.
Well, look at that. Come in, Alex.
Well, the Bible refers to him wearing sandals.
Which you talking about?
He's in the back, man. He'll be right out.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all they had, I think, them times, wasn't it? Sandals.
Yeah, that speaks of sandals a lot more.
Well, I hadn't thought about that. But if you want to find out, you can just talk to them. They'll talk to you, as I understand it.
They will. Really, I'm telling you, it's something to learn. People
ready to talk and can talk.
I'm bad when they end up on Saturday night and
running
around with Joe Fine. He had quite
a
few of them. Yeah. Some of the things that they say. Yeah. Well, sir, I'll tell you something. If there's ever to be anything done to help them, if we help them as individuals, we're going to have to be smarter and more on the ball than they are, and we're going to have to look into them and know what makes them move and what makes them tick and some of the things that motivate them in order to straighten them. You know, all of us are informed about certain things. There's a lot of things that I don't know nothing about.
We'll try to get yourself, sir.
Well, there again, he's got to realize what and wherein he can help himself. I'd love to be making $30,000 a year in barber business, but I don't know how the heck to do it. If somebody come along and tell me how it could be
done. Just a year or two, huh?
Yeah, I'd try it. I would. But herein is...
It can be done, though.
Yeah, it can be done, but I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
In this business here.
Somebody give me the money to buy all the shops in town.
That's the answer. You just got... It's just like... The rich man gets richer.
Well, you know, that came to a head last summer, you know, up there in Chicago. That's what all those fellas were. They're all bright people, as they represented, you know,
they're
as I read about
to
it.
Point.
Yes, they are.
But when it comes to moral concepts, they don't have them. That's right. They're just not realistic about some things.
They know that we have the capacity to do great things, much greater things than they're doing, but you have to overcome ethnic concepts and what have you in order to complete things like that. And it's realistically impossible to do everything you'd like to do in a short or given period of time. And these people refuse to accept that. And they put the pressure on by being the way they are to put the pressure on society to
trying to illustrate a point.
To get them to try to concentrate on the ethnic differences and what have you. Actually, just being the way they are and living the way they are, they come into the open, the people cooperate and try to overcome the non-technical difficulties.
You know, I didn't...
holding down the technological advantage.
I didn't follow what he said. What did he say, Kenny?
Well, as I understand it, the so-called people like the ones that are in Chicago are a minority. They realize they are a minority.
Yeah.
But they're willing to put what they think is right on the line in opposition to the establishment in order to force a confrontation to change some things about our society, about our approach to certain problems.
Yeah.
They're willing to put what they feel to be true or their convictions or what they have lied of on the line in opposition to our views
and get
bring
it
on a change.
And a change in short order, like he said.
Yeah.
No, not necessarily. They realize that it's going to take quite a time for this to happen. But in order to have it happen, you have to hold oppression against society's laws. Now, the way we think, basically, is our self-centeredness. Big I live with you. I want to get all I can for myself. And if I have to suppress or hold another person down and do it, that's just life. Now, this concept is outmoded today. And in order to change it, with the technological capacities we have, it's outmoded. In order to change it, we have to hold the pressure against society and try to get them to realize their ineptness in regard to each other.
Let me tell you something. Excuse me. Last night I turned into Channel 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Hubert H. Humphrey on there. Now, Hubert H. Humphrey, a lot of people, you know, don't care for him. I don't know about that. Thing I hold against him is he wants to spend another $1 billion every time he turns around. But last night he's trying to save it. So.
Well, now that's an accomplished politician. You see, he's getting ready for 72.
Now, on this last summer, he was just spending it every time he turned around.
Maybe he sat down and studied this thing long enough now. since he got defeated, he had anything else to do, so he's more figuring out what the problem is, and he's beginning to realize what the situation is. Now, the reason why these people are keeping the pressure on the Negro.
I cut out what I said about Humphrey. He talked with a retired general, Senator Munt from Montana, a Nobel Prize man in physics who spoke English with difficulty, and two Harvard physicists or technical people who... and they talked back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and nobody gave... Oh, they didn't stand on ceremony. And it seemed to me that... that's about, must be just about what the politicians get into. They have to thrash things out like that all the time, and there's no clear-cut decision, and about all they can do is make a compromise.
And we can't know where about understand all these problems, just like you're talking about them guys talking. But you know something? If Russia and China start to war, you're going to see a lot of the problems in America dissipate. You're going to see protests dissipate. You're going to see some things really drop, and you're going to see some people start supporting the government in these foreign policy areas. Just like back in when World War II broke out and Hitler invaded Russia, you know, they were the peace movement. They were always demonstrating for peace, They've been a constituent of peace, an advocate of peace down through the years, but yet, on the same basis, under the table, they've exploited the thought and the theory of revolution. And boy, when they're being oppressed, they really call for help. And they cut their propaganda in the countries, you know, wherein it says revolution.
Yes.
But you what? Now, China and Russia start the war. You're going to see things settle down over here in our country. We're going to have what you could call some stability.
Well, I must say,
many of our problems today are thought up and derived from the philosophy of Mao Zedong, Ho Chi Minh, and Kosygin. Many of our problems today in our country.
Do you think if we hadn't got involved over there in Vietnam, we'd have got involved with them somewhere else?
There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind that we'd have gotten involved with them somewhere else. We're just calling the hand wherever they show it, you know?
Yeah.
Wherever it endangers the freedom of people of the world.
Yeah. There's no telling what'll happen in the Middle East if things clear up over there, is there?
Well, if Russia can't very well expose themselves any more than what they have, and China's the one that's primarily behind the Arabs over there. They're the ones that's provoking that thing more so than Russia. Them Arabs won't never run the Jews out of there. The Jewish people are there by faith and by an act of God. Now you can take that any way you want to. When I say act of God, they're there because God wanted them there. God promised Israel that land long back 100 years ago, and because of their rebellion, God disciplined them and he told them, to get out. You refuse all my help. You refuse to be my chosen people. Now you're scattered to all four corners of the earth, and it's happened. But he says, you'll come back here, and they were reestablished by the act of the United Nations, and because history records it in the sense that God prophesied that they would be coming back and established as a nation in a later time.
Perhaps Hitler was God's supreme punishment to the Jews.
Very well, could have been. I don't know. But God did say you'll be punished.
Every member of the Jewish family had relatives there.
Yeah. Well, now, in a way, you know, one good thing about the Jews having it is they will keep it open. And the Muslims and all them other people that wants to go there to those holy places, they can go. In our time, you see, the Jews are not isolationists. They're not...
The Jew will do anything for a dollar.
That's some Arab problem.
Yeah.
And
you know, when the Jews were brought back in a repentant mood, or brought back to the right concept of God as a nation, you know, they prospered. And as they prospered, they went back to worshiping false idols, false gods, Baal, and all these gods, you know, material things.
Yeah.
They were making money. They're an intelligent people, and they know how to make money. They seem to be a gift among them. God blessed them with this ability.
They seem to have the gift of just handling money. They didn't have to handle the commodities. They just handled money. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think it does.
You know, like a banker. They own things.
Well, the truth is the Jews control a great deal of the money.
The Arabs are afraid that the Jews will own them.
Well, what was trouble with Hitler and the Jews, the Germans, the Jews were just fixing to take Germany over. They were buying up everything in Germany. They had the money to do it.
When the economic system began to break down there after the war, World War One, the Jews were just buying everything up for nothing.
They were taking on the control, very economical. And Hitler, that was...
It's
a big reason for
getting
rid of them,
like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the economic power and the people in the common people in
the... He had that thing all figured out before he ever got any power. Well, that's what he was
going to
do.
We're living in an exciting time. Let me show you something. Great things happen in our days, and people are blind and can't see it. Some of the most far-fetched things going on you ever in your life seen. I just want you to sit down there and read a little bit of this, if I can find it here now. If it won't make it top pop, why you won't.
My top pop's a good bit anyhow. Don't give me anything else on purpose.
You read that, no. All that's taking place right here and now, going on.
You know, in this internal situation, one of the reasons why hippies are holding themselves into the hard line they have, because they have in this country have a capacity for increasing. And in doing so, they aren't helping the have-nots. And the
have not become more numerous and far back. We know we either perpetuated our problem or stopped for 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 or however many years it is and rectified the problem.
What percentage is being done, I don't know, but we know that our welfare is doing more for the have-not today than ever before. There's more money going to welfare.
In doing so, they're simply holding them back, too, and making it a bigger and bigger problem.
That's what they want. They want houses. This is what they keep telling the politicians and the politicians here. We want housing. We want food. We want the legislation dealing with human misery. We want Medicare.
But
we want that and other.
I think it's being misinterpreted because those people want to do it themselves. They want the chance to do it themselves.
And
they
want to
feel proud of their accomplishment, as we feel proud of their accomplishment. The fact that I own 2 houses, 2 cars, etc. These people, my counterpart out there, want to be in the same boat. He doesn't want me to give him the house. That's taking his pride away from him. Give him the capacity to get it himself.
Well, there's a lot of jobs that people could have.
There's a lot of jobs, but you'd go try to get one if you were one of them people.
Well, I could get any new one. Job.
The jobs are limited.
If you
your capacity to perform in that job. And when that person's capacity to perform in that job is limited, he's not going to get that job.
Well, we have a public school system whereby...
Just now, you see some changes in that field.
They can get an education.
But you've got millions of people out there that are already in the job market, and their children are being raised up economically unsound. They're being provided the education now, and hopefully they won't be in this boat. But you've got millions of people out there that are in that boat that we've
got
to do something about now.
We got poverty conditions here in Gainesville, and I don't know a child in this town that can't go to school. But I know some that won't go. I know many of them that won't go. They're dropping
when
out.
You raise a child in that environment rubs off on him, and he becomes a party to and a part of that environment. You have to change the environment.
You think there's right amount of poverty in Gainesville?
There's quite a bit of poverty. When I say poverty, I'm talking about conditions that merit federal help. Man, these people living in better homes than I'm living in that the federal government has built out here on the Lake Road. 2, 3, 4-bedroom apartments. Brick homes.
Yeah.
Do you think those people are as proud of that as you are of your home? Do you think he'd be better off? He'd be proud
if
he had the capacity to get that home himself.
If I were a poor person and I could qualify to live in that home, I'm sure I'd be proud to live in it.
You wouldn't be proud of the fact that you had to live there.
Well, I don't know. I've always kind of been the opinion that a poor person can't be too proud anyway in that they don't have anything.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem. That thing
you think they're going to keep spending more money?
I don't see any change at all. They've got to spend more to meet the needs of the people.
Well, they keep saying, you know, the space program and all the war, you know, cut down on those things and spend it where the need is.
The individual condition in which you're speaking of, I come up in a family that we could have very well been drawing hungry, not only from Roosevelt Institute.
WPA.
I could have qualified. We could have qualified for WPA in my day.
Yeah.
But we didn't. We dug our living out there on that old farm, and we humped to make the payment on our old home place.
Kenny, how long did you stay out there? How old was you?
In Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I left there when I was 18. Went in the service when I was 18.
Oh, I see. The service got you out of there.
Well,
and then you didn't go back?
I volunteered in the church. Went in the church. And I never have gone back to live. But Alabama is just as good a place to live in my opinion. Better in some respects than some of the others. Well, it's better than Gainesville in a way.
I'd take it.
That's
yeah.
economic condition up there is just as good as they are right here. And you hear them tell about the plight of Alabama.
Yeah.
The racial prejudices and all that. Let me tell you something, friend. What you've seen in the newspapers and televisions and the radio about prejudices in Alabama is not true.
Yeah.
I've got people all over Alabama.
Yeah.
And what you heard about Wallace is a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie. This fella right here tell you that.
You been to Alabama?
It's a... Oh, boy. The truth is, we've not all been told in this country about conditions politically.
Yeah.
Or economically.
Yeah.
Although we do have poverty.
Pastor of this Presbyterian church right here in here. What's that? I forget his name.
Which one? First Presbyterian?
Yeah.
The old fellow?
Uh-huh.
Preacher Gordon.
Father Gordon?
Gordon. He said there'd been more lies told about the state of Alabama and Mississippi and all the rest of them put together. He said that.
Yeah.
Well, I know some things about the Selma March that you never seen in the paper because my people live there. And them marchers who were supposed to be so humane and supposed to be so attentive toward human misery in our country walked around there and kicked the craps and peed on the side of the street and throwed their garbage and trash and everything else out there. And sexual intercourse and all that was carried on in the tents and all that right there.
And it was carried on there under the pretense of doing good.
Under the pretense of doing good. That's a fact. But you didn't see that in the paper.
All this
has been directed toward the human misery in this country.
That old woman
that was killed up there. Now let me tell you something. That woman was nothing but the scum of the earth. She'd been married a couple of times and divorced and wasn't nothing but a common whore. And she was down there. She was there on the basis of somebody else paying her to shack up and perform a high paid service.
That got Brother Collins. I mean, it finally got out that much. That undercut him on this Senate race.
Yes, sir, Mr. Collins, he goes up there. And he joins arm in arm with that great cause for the abolition of human misery. He joins hands with Brother Martin Luther, the biggest communist.
Now, Pastor, all them people that's so sorry for so humane boys, why don't they take some of their thousands and thousands they got to help them? Take the Kennedys, for instance. They got billions of dollars. Why don't they use some of their money to help them? Now they build bigger memorials to the Kennedy family.
They
spend
a lot of money to pay for that, too.
Right.
Well, now, entwined in all that is the Catholic Church, too.
Oh, don't.
They made their money off of human misery. That's the liquor business, that's where the Kennedys got their name.
There's some of your root cause of the problem in this country.
In the world.
In the world. You and I get concerned about human misery, but let me tell you something. We don't really dare to trace the cause of it to the fullest extent. This ethnic group concerned. All that. We are concerned. We don't know where the real origin of this problem is. I know where it lies within me and in my refusing to be a part and identifying myself with the people needed in that respect. As an individual, that's where mine is. Hello there, Steve.
I'm Sam.
Now, I wouldn't be right in trying to pick you apart and tell you where your faults are. All I'm doing is examine myself and try to meet what I feel is God's desire in my life towards these responsibilities and people. But, you know, we're good at holding judgment over one another, over somebody else, but we're not quite ready to accept another person's outlook or convictions about our weakness.
It's like what you're saying about the hippies. We don't know the other people we talk about or deal with so much. We just don't know.
You put them back in your mind.
There's a whole lot you don't know about
them. Their attitudes. But you can't afford to...
Come in.
Well, I thought I would.
I want to go get my purse. Left my.
You ready? Red
eye. Red
eye. Can I get through here?
No, they got it all blocked. That car is right handy, isn't it? The play up. I try not to get too much dismal at one time. I sort of take it by stages. You gone? Where you going?
I was going to get your staff.
Well, I didn't tell you to leave yet. Wait a minute. I'm not going to buy something.
What? Yeah. How about next year?
Yeah,
that's true.
You just send us some business. I'm going to have to move the cable, I reckon, if I can cut some hair.
Well, I'll tell you, it's
plenty of
enough there.
Is Barnum business any better out that way than it is down here?
Oh,
I've
got
to say,
well,
that's good as what you get. Now, that's got it.
Spark, you old boy, die, owe you anything?
Not a thing in the world, I'll
tell you what happened. The good customers I had engaged,
we bought a lot of stuff from
India, always paid
cash on the barrel.
Well, I needed that.
I didn't know that.
Who was that day? Lord, my day. Right here, East
Asia.
Oh, left hand. Yeah,
well. You don't have any hats. I reckon that's about it, dude. Oh, you got any of this here, hair gel?
Yes, I got a good deal on it, too.
Hair gel?
Yes.
What kind of deal?
All right.
You have any of these refill things?
Yes, that's the deal.
Huh?
Well,
I make it easy. I mean, speak me kind, Bill. Don't do me like you do the rest of the bar around here. You're a good fellow, I know you are. And this is your chance to have a pool man.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. Let you have it right now. Where it hurts. All right, here it is. Now, this is the best deal on the jail. Okay, there you go. And you're going to get 8 cubes. You'll do it for this way. And this jar. You'll have to work with the other one.
How is it that sound?
It's done really good.
In the season?
Yeah, it sells good. If you put it up on that shelf, you can always change it for something real good.
All right, yep. Send me one of them up there.
You can't lose on that, can you?
And then I'm going to tell them.
All right. If you offer $36 on that?
Six, what is it, 10 cents on the unpaid balance?
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you, I might have a heart attack tonight. I'm going to pay you for it.
Well, you don't have a heart attack.
Well, if I do, you won't have nothing coming from me. You can come up to my grave and say, well, that old boy didn't know nobody.
Well, I know one barber. If he died, I would think, now, he's not in here, though. I'm going
to get that straight to start. I'm not worried. I'll
just pay
you. If he died, well, I would have to go where he's going to be to collect.
Might get
something seen. I'm going to get something. You know, I hear people talk about the Bible quite a bit. And I talk with people about the Bible quite a bit. And it's always funny to me when I hear people say, now, I believe the Bible. And you know the Bible says that we're to owe nobody nothing. When I ask you, do you owe anybody anything? It takes a different look, man. It does. Owe no man nothing.
Well, they don't figure that, say, $22 a month, you know, is owing anything. As long as they pay that monthly payment, they don't owe anything, do they?
Not only that, you're paying for the privilege of owing that $22 a month. Paying that $22 a month.
Credit.
I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for it, then there's not many people in this country have what they got to do.
No, both ways.
They never save up for enough money to buy.
Oh, that saving is the hardest thing in the world, isn't it?
There is no such thing as a man in this country today, a family man, really, saving anything about him. By the time he gets a little bit, something comes along and takes it.
Yeah.
You're talking about a working man.
Yeah, I'm talking about a working man. I'm talking about a salary man, a man on commission.
And no salary man will ever get ahead like the king of this day.
You take $1,000, now that's not much money. But if you save $1,000, that is one hell of a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
Well, you fellas going to get to vote for a very prosperous young man in this town, barber.
What's that?
He's looking for a way to make a fast buck. Old women.
Yeah.
He keeps making his barber, and now he wants to get on his mission.
Well, he has up at the mall.
No, women never did work. I never did work with women. Call the police station. got a hold of the officer and he said, I was trying to get a hold of the police. He said, I want to report something. And he finally got to the police department. He said, I was trying to go down to Oscar Walker. See, I said, I want to tell y'all something. Say, I think it might be, you might want to know about it. Say, it's the deal with these fire burners, these store burners. Say, I seen something last night. Say, I want to report it. And they cut in on him something. Evidently, they knew what his pitch was. And they already knew what he was going to tell them something. What he was thinking about, though, was in terms of getting some reward, you know, for turning in for the contributions of apprehending that man that was doing it, what he was thinking. And all he got upset then when they, whatever they told him, I don't know what it was. And he come back in there and he started on my shoes and said, man, he didn't get nothing out of it. He was really upset about that thing.
But he had the right idea, didn't he?
Yeah. I said, well, you had the right idea, but you were just a little bit too late.
Yeah.
Somebody else has done that, that reward.
Yeah. Somebody has done it for you. Thank you, Jim. Steve, have a seat, old buddy.
I'm coming.
We appreciate it. There, Jim.
Yeah, the little nigga down there, he was thrown in the corner like a statue. And Ozzy was saying something to Lundy, you know, the metal brush here. And instead of Lundy answering the question, this shine boy, he serves as the middleman. And he answers the question that one of them asks the other.
He's an intelligent young man.
He what?
The stupid nigger, I
ain't saying. Just plain stupid, huh?
Now, you couldn't
talk like that about the other man's heart. He's not
little fellow. He's. I think everybody likes him just to go down there and visit him. Because I
don't like him. I would see
a rat and I'd kill him if I had to see a rat. Well, he's been shot at before and he's killed him. He's a good time, boy. I'll tell you that. They ain't never been a better clean-up man.
That's
what
I was trying to figure out. That's probably the only reason why he stayed down here,
because
it's so hard to find somebody
who
will
see
him
to get off of that. He is a good shine boy. He can put a shine on a pair of shoes, buddy. I'm not with you.
You can sit here.
But
I'm still here when we get the song out. Boy, in New York. Man, he goes to New York. He don't hang around there, down there in Harlem.
No,
he lives up there on Fifth Avenue and right downtown.
Got a good imagination,
huh?
Yeah.
He gets with the high class.
Yeah,
right.
He hadn't even been to Harlem.
He goes
up.
How about it?
Mark, you real sure you didn't get
the woman
I bought you?
I'm real sure I didn't give you more than
you bought.
You better
share.
I told you this is the best deal you've ever had on the jail.
Well, I'm afraid you do got a good deal.
What is jail?
That's her jail. You see, instead of using that greasy kid stuff, people are going out to hair jelly.
Yeah.
Hair jelly. Jim, you want to try something?
Well, that's what they want to see what they're talking about.
Well, let me get some on my hands over here. I got a little piece out of here.
That's a nice little spout, squirter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
It's not greasy. It's not greasy at all. Hold your hand.
That top could come off.
This is really good stuff.
Yeah.
A
hard time.
Real good haircut. Yeah. It's not
greasy
at all.
I'll tell you something
not
else.
Not too much odor, is it?
No.
Something else that you're good for, too, is for washing your hands. That's better than any soap you ever seen in your life to wash your hands with.
Is that right?
That's right. It'll flag you. Well, quick stand to see you later.
Bill, take care of my friend Forrest. Let me show you something, man.
If I go to
Cairo,
I'm going to try to make
an appointment. I want you to give a haircut.
That's kind of
good. He's
all
time
making
fun of our
judge. Now, I want you to know that that's the barber friend. Did you know he made the 10 most best
groomed
men of the year?
Very good.
How about that?
Who's
that? That's
that?
One of them. Claudius Kirk.
Did what?
He's one of the 10 most best groomed men in the nation. He's the barber's friend right there. There he is, see?
I'll be damned.
People talk about old Father being an old country boy.
But if they'd had his wife standing up there beside him with that green bikini on, nobody would have seen his wife.
If they'd had his wife there, that, what do you say? With that green bikini?
Yeah, green bikini. Well,
we got probably the best looking first lady in the nation. States.
Where'd you think clean glasses? I gotta clean the glasses so I can see what you're doing.
It's back there. On that shelf here, I had.
You mean he got glasses cleaner too? I'm learning things.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you just use that. You don't put
them
on it.
I washed them off there. The thing's very forgot
to put them. Yeah, a little soap does that.
Yeah.
Hey, Billy.
Save that box now. I might want
to take that step off and look at that.
I don't know Ossie.
Ossie Walsh, down across from
Wilson.
No, I never hung around down there. Hell, they got big. They got them blown up here, like here.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
Well, what do you know?
Yeah, now that's a small container down there in the cube.
He's
here.
Yes, he's more than popping my head.
Look on your receipt.
It's either a dollar and a half. It's on the tube, inside. Yeah, in there someplace. It's the same price as the attached to it.
Won't it?
Yeah.
This is the end of Channel 1 Right, the end of Channel 1 Right on the new Rio, Kenny Sims. This is the end of Channel 1 Right on the new Rio, Kenny Sims. This is the end of Channel 1 Right on the new Rio, Kenny Sims. Now the salesman, the barber supplies, had just left, and Kenny is stacking up the supplies that the man delivered from him just right when he bought it. And that's on Saturday the 15th of March, 1969. Saturday the 15th of March, 1969 at Kenny Sims, the barbershop. And this is the end of Channel 1 Right on the new reel, Kenny Sims.